Simple. Danny goes to the movies, writes a review. You hear him on the podcast, now you know what he would do. Grab your popcorn and your soda or your healthier snacks. Enjoy the film and just relax. You don't have to do this all alone. Join our community and we'll talk about it, yo. I scream, you scream for movies. And that's what we be doing. I scream, you scream for movies. And that's what we be doing. I scream, you scream for movies. And that's what we be doing.
All right, everybody. Welcome to I Scream, You Scream for Movies for Sunday, June the 4th. It's a raw feed. We are doing it live. And ladies and gentlemen, the month of the year, possibly my greatest month of the year. I never pay attention to one of the greatest months I always anticipate, but June of 2023 has finally arrived. And this time, this is going to be one big of my show. Back-to-back-to-back movie reviews on this podcast since March. March, we had so much good stuff going on. But June is the one I anticipate the most, video game-wise as well. But movie-wise, this is a movies podcast. I will be obviously talking about the movies I anticipately see and deliver you guys my thoughts with a guest or mine or two. But anyways, I'm Danny, and today I have a welcoming new guest on my show. And this is Tony from the PlayStation Rumble podcast, if I'm not mistaken. That's the podcast. But in that case, if I'm wrong, introduce yourself and tell us about yourself. Welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, Tony. I do a little podcast called PlayStation Rumble. We mostly talk about PlayStation games, but sometimes we ramble on about other things. But yeah, we're on Twitter, PS Rumble. My personal Twitter is Tony Gear Solid. But yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course, man. So, to kick off this grand finale of June right there, I shouldn't say grand finale, but to kick off the big month of my life, our lives, we got Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse to talk about on this episode today.
Yes.
So, you got to see it. I got to see it. Well, we're both different times and like, not different times, different states, sorry. But I got to see it this past Thursday night, and you got to see it Friday, correct?
Yes, Friday morning.
Okay. I got to see
it. Doubly.
Yeah, Thursday night for me. So it took a little while to get this episode going because I was having guest troubling issues, but I'm so thankful Tony's on my show today, and we're talking Spider-Man Across Spider-Verse, one of my top 10, or should I say, top 5 most anticipated. And I swear, from the trailers, they look awesome. And from the looks of the first movie is awesome itself. I got to see it before watching a new one. So, to get started, let's give our quick thoughts to this real quick before we get to further topics. So, let me go first. So, in comparison to that, to the first Into the Spider-Verse film, this is above beyond average, not just average, but above beyond well-made film, well-made animated comic book movie. I was smiling throughout this whole animation. And ever since I got used to the animation, when I watched Puss in Boots: The Last Witch with that style, I was like, I'm so ready to get used to the style. I'm so ready. And I was smiling throughout this whole movie. Everything was stunning, awesome. The action was great. The characters were great. The storytelling was great. I mean, wow, what's there to tell with this kind of movie? It's not just an anime movie. It's an animated comic book movie that we should have got this years to come. And I get it, it was just a modern technology back in the day, sure. But we never had this so much that everyone's been loving this kind of style since Into the Spider-Verse happened to be the most sleeper hit film. So in comparison, I really thought this was bigger than the last one. The last one was just the beginning. So the second happens to be just beyond, above and beyond what the first one had. It's amazing and a great time for the movies like that, so Tony, let me go to you. What are your quick thoughts to this movie? And if you can remember to compare the last one, tell us about your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely everything you said. Like, it's a true comic book come to life on screen, especially with all the animation. There's like sometimes like 12 different types of animation at the screen at the same time, and it's still it they somehow make it all work. It blends all together like perfectly. Like you have a the favorite is Spider-Punk. He has such a unique style to his animation. And right next to Gwen Stacy's, she has more of like a watercolor type thing. And then Miles has like the urban style, and it's like next to each other, and it feels like it all fits together. It's amazing what they did.
I agree. Like, there's
a lot of love and hard work was put into this. You can tell.
That's lovely. So as we're going to go further, the animation, we got to talk about it. So like I said, this is the animation I was doubting at first before watching Puss in Boots. I got so used to it, and I was like, yeah, let this be a comic book movie. I'm actually anticipating to see. And considering the first one had that first, until Universal's and DreamWorks been doing the style since then, and it appealed well. So the animation, this is like fully comic book styled. This is actually very well. I like the animation so much. It's like we never got this in every kind of anime movie in some ways. And I feel like this animation style, what they're always going with, should be like this in every animated comic book movie. And yes, a DreamWorks movie, perhaps, of course. This is like possibly a good concept to make animated movies very well done in a way people never see this before. It's actually like so used to being, as long as you're used to watching this stuff through it, this is just like, it's very good. And the colors on top of that are just so scaled well as a comic book movie. It's very detailed in every scenes and every look possible. It's just very nice what they've done with this kind of animation. We never get to see that in such every kind of movies. Besides the Mario movie that had great animation, I think this one has a chance to win like an Oscar animated feature like the last one, which we'll get into that in a bit, but I think the animation was clean in every way.
Yeah, definitely. This was like, I think it's kind of a game changer and when it comes to animated movies, because it's a lot of it, like, you know, Pixar had its day and DreamWorks have it today, but this is like, I think, the new style, because even like the new Teenage Mutant, the Ninja Turtle movie that's coming out, it's having a similar style, not the same style, but similar. So it's definitely going to start becoming a trend. But as long as they don't, like, you know, half-ass it in future movies, like, because it's going to get copycats, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen eventually. So they did, it's great you touched base on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm looking forward to that. And I kind of expect, when I looked at the trailer, it looked like it was going to be the same kind of style, what they went with Spider-Man and DreamWorks movies, like that. I'm like, I'm so used to it for sure. I'll be watching that. Comes out August, so very awesome. I can't wait to talk about that on my show. But nice that you brought a comp to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm very excited. So I'm sure every other movies out there, every studios out there, is going to incorporate that. So it'll be no surprise, but it is a game changer, like you said. So every studio has every right to utilize that. So it is a copyright thing, sure. Copycat thing, sure. But as long as they got what they got with their own style, hey, anything could change well. So that's very nice. So let's talk about the characters. So the characters is what makes it great. Tons of relationships, meaningful chemistries. I mean, we had like the whole thing. I was thinking about Miles and Gwen. This is like obviously a love story, I feel like, going to this movie unexpectedly. So I happen to enjoy a lot of that. It was just not what I want throughout the whole film, but it does have meaningful things. But it's very touching. Like, I like the stuff. I like the chemistry of that. Even the voice actors, Shamark Moore and Haley Steinfeld, they did a great job with their chemistry. I like them. I thought they're great.
Yeah, it's just as much as a Gwen Stacy movie as it is for Miles Morales, which is just like the story beats. If anything, she has a bit more character development for reasons we won't get into because that's be a spoiler. But she definitely had a full story arc of her growing as a character. So it very much was about her and her, what she was going through at the time, and her like being cooperative with the Spider-Man group, I guess we can get into a little bit. So, yeah.
I wanted to touch base about, yeah, Gwen. So this is more of a movie to her more than Miles. So that's an interesting arc, what they went through. And speaking of that, there is a Spider-Woman-led movie. So we're going to probably get to see, like, as a prequel, maybe, that, let's say, all the events happen before Into the Spider-Verse on her arc. So I feel like that's going to be that point. And I hope people knows to agree that this is going to be that style. So
they're also going to do a Spider-Man Noir movie as well.
Oh, yeah, with Nicolas Cage, right? Noir. Yeah. I like him in the last movie for sure. So let's touch base on the other new characters. So yeah, I want to touch base on Spider-Punk, voiced by the wonderful, wonderful British actor, Jordan Peele's handyman himself, Daniel Kaluuya. I thought he was great. The British, I'm so used to him. I never get to used to him like speaking British a lot, but I used to hear him in his American accent way a lot. But it looks like it's the British style. I'm so used to it. So Daniel for sure did a good job on his character performance. And the character himself, I like the fact this is Spider-Punk. So all the spider variants based on whatever characters appear in this movie happens to be in the comic books in like not real life, but like real products. So what Sony Marvel has done is to fulfill people's wishes to see them in these movies. Spider-Punk was one of them. I really like that. I truly like what they promised, really.
Yes, Spider-Punk was definitely one of the big highlights of it. He was just such a cool character. As he says, anti-establishment. Very anarchist, too. So, like, you see that throughout the movie. Especially a fun little bit towards the end.
Oh, yeah. What other characters do you want to touch base on that's, like, appealed to you? There's one I want to go over the last, but anything else you have in mind?
Wasn't, like, the Indian Spider-Man?
Oh, yeah, yes. I don't know who he's voiced by, but, yeah, he was cool in that movie, too. I like his backstory on that as well. And the Indian Spider-Man. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, it was really cool how
Go ahead. Sorry.
I hope you edit some of this down because I do. I pause a lot.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. It was a nice little surprise. Like, it was cool. It was cool to see all the different variants. Especially him. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed his little storyline that went on, which I can't really go into because that's kind of a spoiler.
Yeah. What was I gonna say? So, I was gonna say Spider-Woman. Jessica Drew, that's Spider-Woman. She's voiced by Issa Rae. Nice character.
That was Issa Rae. That was on the pregnant one, the bike, right?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Nothing much interesting, but I do like the voice, I believe. I do like the performance, but nothing much to what I appeal. Also, Peter B. Parker returns from the last one as a baby. Very interesting. I'm glad he's back. Of course. Yeah, there's so many good Spider-Man variants. We're not going to obviously talk about it. I mean, this is like possibly a must-see to see what... I feel like the Spider variant is like... All the variants is what the multiverse is all about. This is a multiverse movie from like... Even from the first movie. And this is what Doctor Strange... Look, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse Madness, when it came out last year, promised it looked like because it was going to leave off after Spider-Man No Way Home. But the character arc story-driven of like a character like Wanda... Habit to shrug off that hype, even though we got some of that, but no one wasn't expecting like a different art character story film that leaves after WandaVision, which I didn't get the whole idea why they went with this kind of style. I mean, the direction. But I feel like this movie, Sony Marvel promised a lot of fans what the multiverse is all about and the hype they want to see in these characters and variants like that with the spider people. The spider society looks so great. So there's so much stuff to really say, but we don't want to like say it. So you'll have to see the movie for yourself. But if you those are listening to this episode and saw the movie, you already know what it goes down, and you're all probably be hyped to see what they have in this movie. It's very insane.
Yeah, I'll say that the Spider-Man movies have really knocked out of the park. Like all three Tom Holland ones are great.
Oh yeah.
The third one dealt with a multiverse.
Yes.
And this one's Delta Multiverse better than like any MCU movie so far.
Oh man. Like, if this was an MCU movie, this would have been off the charts.
I mean, even it has to be. Is.
I mean, no, it's not. I think. Okay, look. This movie and the Into the Spider-Verse isn't an MCU movie. It's a Marvel movie, but it's not in the universe. This is just animated in its own series. So, to point that out for people that are like a little confused, these movies aren't part of the universe of the MCU live actions. This is just its own series. And speaking of that, we are getting the live action of Miles Morales, so maybe that will incorporate to the MCU. Maybe we'll see.
I mean, technically, if they really wanted to, they could tie all of it together very easily. I think.
Yeah,
because there were one or two little cameos.
Totally. So want to touch base one more person. Miguel O'Hara, voiced by Oscar Isaac. I don't know why that no one pays attention to Oscar Isaac. He is an underrated actor, in my opinion. He's probably a little slept since, like, his role as the Moon Knight in the TV series of the MCU show Moon Knight. I hear he was good in that, and every other performance he's put out, shown some movies like Dune. He's also done Gomez Adams in the Adams Family animation movies. But
he's also,
I was excited to see
he was
him this
also
movie.
In was the rich not the, he was the guy in Ex Machina. He was the billionaire.
Oh, I didn't see that, but
Oscar
Isaac
great.
Has been in these underrated movies like that, but him in this film, I was excited. I like to see what he's going through, and I feel like he steals some of the scenes very well, and yeah, I just liked his backstory and like his.
If you like Oscar Isaac, I would highly recommend Ex Machina. He's excellent in that.
He definitely
had his part, and he was definitely he definitely held his own. He definitely had a presence throughout the movie, to say the least.
Totally. Yeah, that I think out of all the characters, I like Miguel O'Hara. Oscar Isaac steals. That's to me at least. I liked everything he did. So, all right. So I want to touch base on the goodest part. So this sequel has a little more dark tone than the last one, I feel like, because. Yeah, I feel like the storytelling has maturity, like a little mature of like dark theme, not just dark, but like, I mean, like mature, let's say, like the multiverse through storytelling looked like it was very serious. And like, even the emotional impact it has through storytelling also means a lot, like throughout the second half and the third. I mean, those will pretty much hit you a little hard in like how you feel on how this movie ends. I mean, like, it really, in this kind of sense, to me, I was watching the movie and my heart was beating nearly to the end of second act and starting all the way to the third act. My heart was beating nonstop and I was scared. Like, man, I was just like, wow, this upbeat really, really, really ticked me on. It's insane. So,
The movie definitely had some of its heartfelt moments, especially Gwen Stacy's little story with her dad. And then everything, with Miles and his parents, what he was going through, you know, slight spoilers, you know, he's kind of afraid to tell them, like, of them finding out that he was Spider-Man, or that there's certain moments. And then, of course, that last finale, the last act was just unreal. The entire, like, end sequence.
That was my favorite, like, the third act is my favorite part of the movie, like that. The action was crazy good in that whole chase scene. It was amazing.
The entire build-up leading up to
it. It was the whole build-up, man. It's nuts.
Yeah, you definitely felt it. And, we can't really... You don't do spoilers, so we can't say much about what happened.
Yeah, we can. But we will mention something nearly to the end, but not to spoil. But obviously, for people that didn't know, so...
We forgot to mention Jason Schwartzman as Spot.
Oh, thank you. Oh my God. Oh. I know he's a good villain. I thought Jason Schwartzman as the Spot was a great job. I thought he was also a highlight and a great nemesis to Miles, which we don't see that in like a video game or like, I don't know if this was in the comics or not, but I thought the story.
I'm not too familiar with the comics, but I think they definitely wanted to up the ante with the character, because I'm not sure how seriously the character was taken in the comic books. I'm not so familiar with Spider-Man comic books, but from what I've read, they've definitely went above and beyond at making Spot an intimidating villain.
Oh, yeah. It looked like it was serious for what he wanted revenge on Miles. For those that didn't see the first movie, it did have something to do with the first movie, how he became the Spot. It does have a backstory, of course, so you guys will understand if you watch it. And see the first movie, too, to little get the idea what that character was before he was into the Spot. So I'm going to literally throw out this question. I'm going to throw this to you, Tony. So this movie, the last movie, Into the Spider-Verse, had won Best Animated Feature, but it didn't get Best Picture. Well, it wasn't nominated for Best Picture, but it was nominated for Animated Feature and won it. From that point stand, do you think this movie could have, obviously, the chance?
Yes, win? there's no way this is win all the awards for the best animation, because there's so much small detail and so many Easter eggs hidden throughout the movie, and just so much detail in the animation, all the animation styles, just like 6 or 7 animation styles on the screen, if not more, at the same time. And then you have Gwen Stacy's world, which is all in watercolor. You have Miles Morales' world, of course, that's all in the urban style. And then you have all these other characters, which I won't spoil, little snippets of different universes. Yes. Especially the end sequence alone is Oscar-worthy.
Yeah, I like to touch base on that. I mean, this looks like a best picture contender for sure. I mean, obviously, it has to. I mean, even if this was going against the Mario movie as an example, it possibly could get. I don't know. I think I could be wrong. I think it's obviously the Oscars won't pay attention to a film like Mario, but Spider-Verse is going to be obviously a contender. So that is going to have a chance to win it all.
They don't take. I don't think the Oscars take animated movies very. I mean, don't think it'll be in like the best, made for like anime movie, yeah, but it won't be best picture.
I'm sure many people are rooting for it to go into best picture somehow. I mean, that could have a shot because the storytelling and everything was off the charts.
It'd be great.
And even the cinema. Definitely. And as of right now, even the movie got an A, a little downgrade from the first one, got an A+. It's still a good score. I'm just surprised it got an A, but it doesn't change the fact it will still go for like the best anime feature, which is crazy.
So. I think I know why I got an A. It's not for the quality of the movie.
But we will touch base on what we'll this. We'll touch that. Base on like something, but not to spoil. Or yeah. So yeah, I totally think has a shot for a best anime feature for sure to win. And
definitely, there's no way. There's no way it can't win for best animated feature, because it's.
If it loses to other anime movies, like what? I can't even think what other anime contender movie will get. I know obviously Mario's not gonna make it for
boots.
Sure. Mario's not
gonna no, Mario.
No.
And
I mean like anime movies for this year. Puss in Boots came out in December. That count is like last year, not this coming Oscar. But I feel TMNT. Like Mario could do Mario TMNT. Goodness. I mean, I can't think of any other anime movies going on. I mean, yeah. I just got
it's a shoe-in. There's no way it doesn't win.
It's just gonna take an easy kick. Yeah, it's just gonna take an easy cakewalk. Spider-Verse is gonna take that Oscar back to its home spider web again. So, all right, and just to go over this, obviously, a lot of people, even on social media, been saying that this is possibly one of the best comic book anime movies of all time. I feel like those movies, that kind of movie, and the last one, possibly are one of the best anime comic book movies to me. Again, that could be anyone's opinion. But what about yours, Tony?
It's definitely one of the best anime movies I've seen in like the past decade, easily. I think it's the best anime movie I've seen since the first one. Honestly, it's just like I said, Pixar has had their day, and I think Spider-Man just took it from them.
Oh, yeah. Totally. And I feel like comic book movies should be like this, pretty much. It will have a best chance of snagging these stuff. Maybe TMNT, maybe a comic book If I think it was a comic book before. I don't know if it did before.
Oh, it was. It was a comic book before.
Okay.
Animated. It was a rather dark comic book before the animated series in the '80s came out.
Okay, so it will.
That's from my time. So
TMNT will count as a comic book anime movie, which comes out in a couple of months. That will be into a debate that I will be talking about on my show. So
I don't think it's gonna top this.
I don't think it will either. But again, it's nice what Paramount has done for the animation, especially Seth Rogen, who made this movie. Again, we don't want to go off topic, but I feel like this is gonna be exciting to talk about on my show, so that's coming up soon. But yeah, this is possibly one of the best anime comic books. I got no other regrets to say.
Yeah, there's only other people that do comic movies is DC. And I think now DC has to up their game because now Spider-Man comes in and has become the best anime comic book movie. Oh. DC was already reigning champ for a while because that was the best thing for their at least better than their DCU movies so far. So and now
some Marvels, I believe,
Spider-Man has taken the crown.
Oh yeah, totally. Okay, so that's a lot of our good buzz to this movie. Now, obviously, let's talk about a little negativity, a little critique. So, in case people didn't know, Spider-Man Across Spider-Verse is a first part sequel. So this, for anyone who has not remembered the first teaser they dropped, it was part one. And I knew this was part one, especially like my heart was beating to see how it all ends. I won't say anything, but this is a first part. So, spoiler or not, I do want to mention about that to the people listening. This is the first part. If anyone saw it and are listening to this episode,
technically, we are getting it's a second part because apparently my buddy had told me that this was planned as a trilogy from the start.
Yeah, yeah, it looked like it was a trilogy for sure. So you're saying Across Spider-Verse is part two, and Into the Spider-Verse is part one.
It's the second of a trilogy, but this is the first part of a duology. Technically, I didn't know that going in, and so when it hit me, what was going on, I was not upset. I just didn't want the movie to end because the movie's 2 hours long. I could have sat there for another hour.
I don't mind seeing another hour, even if it's this long. I don't give a damn. I mean, yeah, I want to see how it all ends, dude.
But luckily, though, it's the sequel's coming out in, 10 months?
Yeah, it comes. The part Beyond the Spider-Verse is what it's called, and it's coming out March 29th, 2024, which is so that month. Excited for a lot of other blockbusters coming out. Particularly one, but so Spider-Verse
it's not a Dune situation where we had to wait 2 years. So at least we a handful of months. It's like a season of TV.
I'm excited for part two of Dune for sure. I'm excited.
Definitely, so am I. The first Dune was freaking beautiful.
Going to the Oscars for sure, like the first one. That's obvious. So I cannot wait to touch base on that. But yep, so this is the first part of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and the part two is going to be Beyond the Spider-Verse, comes out next year. So everyone, if you're looking forward to this next one, be ready. It's probably possibly going to be the biggest crowded. I say like right now, the money for the box office is going to double, I feel like. So to report numbers real quick. What's up?
I saw a few pictures on my Twitter feed. And people are like, oh my god, this is the longest line I've seen in movie theaters in years.
I mean,
this is definitely going to be a bit of a resurgence. Like the movie theaters are starting to get a bit of a resurgence.
Oh yeah, and it's every other movie has gone resurgence. So to report the numbers real quick, Across the Spider-Verse has doubled the opening weekend from Into the Spider-Verse, which made the first one made $35 million. And guess how much this movie made, Tony? I don't know if you heard about the news.
Isn't like over 100, like 120?
Yeah, 120 in the 3 day. This is crazy. It doubled. So the numbers
it's going to have legs, too.
It's going to have legs throughout the whole month. June is like Sony's month for sure, I believe. They got a good movie like that, and the first one was a sleeper hit when it came out in December 2018.
The first one, the first one ended up doing well because I remember it had a slow start, but yes, then word made out over, started spreading.
It made over 190 domestically at its total run. So I feel like the second is gonna top that in next week or so. It's going to.
Yeah, this is gonna. Top it. This is gonna have summer legs. I think it's gonna last throughout the summer.
Can we say Top Gun Maverick phenomenon legs? I mean, God, this might be in theaters for so long. Who knows? I mean,
I don't think it's on. I'm not sure about that.
Oh, come on!
I think it's gonna.
I believe that. I mean, hey, even The Flash comes out. I believe so much optimism Warner Bros. Has been putting out this. So, but I feel like Spider-Verse has got to take the light very well throughout the whole month of June, and.
I think it's going to lead into July. I think it's and then digitally and on demand and everything.
I feel like it's going to go on digital August. I feel like they're going to give at least a little extended run on the Sony part, at least Sony's end, yeah. Because it's a huge success. So maybe in August. Yeah, I think
since you're doing so well, they're going to keep it in the theaters for a little bit, probably longer than expected. Because recently it's just been like a couple of weeks and then everything goes on demand. I think now that now that since it's such a busy summer and it's such good word of mouth, I think a lot of people are going to go see it and see it again and again, because this is definitely going to be a rewatch of a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely watching it when it comes on digital. And speaking of that, as of this coming next weekend, I might go see it again after I see Transformers, which might be a Thursday. But that Sunday, next Sunday, as I'm recording, I might see Spider-Verse again. I might treat myself very nice. Who knows? Because I'm thinking about this today, and I feel like I gotta watch this again somehow after I see and get the review for Transformers out of the way, which I can't wait to see Rise of the Beast coming up this week, and so much stuff going on this June. I cannot wait to get further on with the show and anticipate the hype. Okay, so real quick, is there anything else you want to touch base on, Tony, before we get off the mic?
I think any further would enter spoiler territory, because there's a lot of stuff I'd like to talk about, but you're a non-spoiler podcast, and I respect that, and I'm not gonna disrespect you.
Hey, it's okay. Someday I might do a spoiler. I might think about this at the moment, just to divide this episode, not into two parts, but let's say, putting the timestamps, let's just say, you might counter that and just only listen to the non-spoiler and get away from the spoiler by stepping away from the episode and then resume the episode back. So I might do that in the future. Who knows? So yeah, I might change things a little bit too. So, all right. So overall, to get out of this movie, I enjoyed very must go see movie of the summer. If you're a parent, take your kids to see it. I'm sure it's not that dark. I'm sure it's a great time in the movies, but a lot of teens have came out to this for sure. A lot.
I would say it's definitely an almost all ages affair.
Oh, yeah.
To see maybe younger kids not want to sit there for 2 hours, but, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, definitely. And if you're a grown-ass adult and see it, I saw it with my buddy, and we're both grown men in our 30s, so, and we had a great time.
And I'm a youngster, so I'm 23, so that counts as being under 35, so I'm those people. I did see it with my brother, so. And I might go see it again by myself next Sunday. Who knows? I got to. Maybe letting you all know on my Twitter feed, if you follow me on Twitter at ISUS4MPod. Show notes in the description, by the way. And I might give you all the word if I see the movie again. Who knows? So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, all right. I'll definitely say this is a...
Oh, go ahead.
Definitely top contender for my movie of the year.
Oh, me too.
It's neck and neck of John Wick 4. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It's a close race.
It's going to be close. I mean, I got so much movies to anticipate down my rank, so it's going to be a debate for sure. So good thing you touched base on John Wick. John Wick's amazing. All right, so that's everything we're going to talk about. Spider-Man Across Spider-Verse, out now in theaters. Go see it if you haven't. This will blow you. Even if you haven't seen the first one, see it, obviously, and then watch the second one. So as we're about to wrap things up, where can they find you, Tony, before we get off?
Once again, I do a podcast called PlayStation Rumble. It's a video game podcast. We're on all the platforms, mostly pretty much Spotify, Google Podcasts, if that's even still a thing anymore. I don't know anymore. Apple and all that. And we're on YouTube. We have an archive of our episodes on YouTube, PlayStation Rumble. We're also on Twitter, PS Rumble, and my own personal Twitter is Tony Gear Solid.
20 Gear Solid, I like the name. Might give it a follow. So yeah, I'll leave all those in the show notes. And yeah, real quick, Transformers Wrath of the Beast is my next episode. I'm very excited to seeing this, though it might have a little struggle in the box office due to reasons, but I will touch base on that in the episode. seeing it hopefully later this week. I mean, so yeah, stay tuned for that. And speaking of that, I gotta stop. We both gotta stop, Tony, and we both gotta get off the mic. For me, now to give everyone the conclusion to me ending this episode, I have to stop talking and get off the mic because I have a business to conduct, and this has something to do to settling someone, a little beef settle with someone, which I have business to like hop in my friend's stream and like play him in a certain match. I mean, okay. So it has something to do settling on the streets, and I don't mean drugs. I don't mean all that. Let me just elaborate this. When I say something on the streets, I mean I need to settle to someone on the streets on a live stream, and which is what I'm going to do as of this recording. By the time you listen to this episode, it's probably been done, which I will tell you guys if I came on top of settling someone on the streets or not. And that game just came out this past week with Spider-Man Across Spider-Verse, which I don't get paid advertising this. But I have to settle to someone on the streets by playing Street Fighter 6. That game is available now on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series X and S, which, strange, they didn't put Xbox One on it like they did with PS4. Strange. And obviously PC. So if you're a Street Fighter and you are looking forward to some selling someone on the streets, online, locally, Street Fighter 6 is now available. And as for me, I gotta sell my friend online in the streets playing Street Fighter 6 on a stream. So I'll let you guys know how it goes, who came on top. And it's just gonna be a fun time for me. So as of this recording, you guys may not get to see the matches or see the stream, but I will gladly tell you who just came on top. So the only way to find out who came on top is to stay tuned to my next episode. So into this episode, if you want to follow and subscribe to this podcast, all you gotta do is to input the Sure You Can by subscribing. Follow and subscribe to input the Sure You Can. To do an Hadouken, you just follow my social media links on Twitter, TikTok, they're all in the show notes. And to even send me an email, my email's open, input the Tatsumaki Seibuka, I can't say the name right, but the spinning kick, the spinning tornado kick that Ryu and Ken does. So that's the way you can reach me out if you have any thoughts or anything you want to share. My email's open, and this is going to be possibly a way to end this episode. So as this is recording, which I think Tony's leaving at the moment. Oh, there he is. As I'm about to end the episode, sorry. I'm gonna sat on the streets. So Tony, I think we've done it. Thank you for joining me tonight. And
thank you for having me.
There is nothing else to say except until next time. I'll be screaming you all at I Screamed, You Scream for Movies. Nailed it. Dum 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 d